according to the wedge of Ophir. And what this means is that when they came in for their destruction, that they were coming to destroy the inhabitants, the people. There wouldn't be any buying this army off. There wouldn't be any paying a ransom and getting away without being punished. The punishment must come because to this army, the man was more important than the gold or the silver. And this golden wedge of Ophir, the word Ophir, is probably a place in India from which there was a good source of gold, and we have some references in the Bible that probably refer to commerce between the land of Israel and this land of Ophir over gold. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee everyone into his own land. Now this verse 14 is really a kind of an incomplete sentence, because he doesn't say who it is. And it shall be as the chaste roe. And as we look at the context, and as we look at some of the other Jewish writings, the Jewish people regarded this word it as meaning the remnant. And I believe what this verse 14 is really applying to here is the people who are in captivity. Now remember, Babylonia had not only the Jewish people in captivity, but they had other nations also in captivity. Many other nations. And so, if it talks about the remnant, then it, or the remnant, shall be as the chaste roe. That is, as a gazelle, that is, as somebody is chasing and not able to catch, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. That is, a flock of sheep that doesn't have a shepherd, doesn't have any place to go, no local home. And they shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone into his own land. That is, the captives shall flee to their respective homes. This would be the time for the captives to be able to leave the land and go back to their homes. And I'm told that history says that within 1 year of the time that Cyrus took this land over, within 1 year, the people were already going back to their homes. For everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. This is still depicting this destruction. Every person that is found is going to be pierced with a sword, going to be thrust through. And to join into a group is not going to be any more protection, because the one that is joined shall fall by the sword. Now this may also have some reference here to things that we don't know about. It may be that during that great overthrow of the Babylonian Empire, that these captives had to disassociate themselves from the Babylonians, or they would be killed like the Babylonians. That could very likely be what is meant here also. But now, in verse 16, we get a real true picture of what it was like to be in the war. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. And this is the story of just about every war that I've ever known about. This happened during World War II. It happened during World War I. It happened during the Korean War. It happened during the Vietnamese War. This very thing here. The rape of the women. The destruction of the houses. The children being dashed to pieces before their eyes. We sometimes don't realize just how terrible and how inhumane and certainly how unchristian warfare is. Warfare is a terrible thing. You cannot imagine the terribleness of warfare. And this is not God's people involved in this now. God's people they're going to their lands from which they came. They're going like a chaste roe. These are the destructive armies that God on the one hand has set aside to destroy the Babylonians, on the other hand, whom God had felt were so wicked now and had served his purpose and he was going to have destroyed. These are ungodly people destroying ungodly people. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Now, if there's any question as to who he's talking about, he names the Medes in this 17th verse. I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it. Here again, this is alluding to the fact that this army didn't come to get gold and silver. This army didn't come to get plunder necessarily. It came to get the people. It was the inhabitants that were destroyed. And we have on record a speech that Cyrus gave to his soldiers. And in this speech he said words to this effect, that he praised his army for not seeking wealth. He said, I know that you didn't come on this expedition for wealth. And so that bears out with what the Bible says. They didn't regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. They came down to slaughter and to kill and destroy these Babylonians. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. Now, history also records that the bows of these people, of these armies, were a superior type bow. Some of them even think that they were made out of metal. They were about 3 cubits long, which would be, if a cubit's 18 inches, that would be 4.5 feet long, which was a good-sized bow, and one that long and as stout as a metal bow would have been a very powerful bow. But it seemed that they took the bows and just slaughtered people with them. They shall dash, he says, the young men to pieces. And they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Doesn't matter if it's a little child or a baby or what, there'll be no pity. This is a merciless slaughter brought upon these Babylonians. Then in beginning in verse 19, he really gives a description of the destruction of this city of Babylon. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now Babylon, as we know, not only is that wicked city that was the capital of that nation that did capture God's people, but it is also looked upon today as being the great enemy to the church. It today is the apostate church. It today, as we study the book of Revelations, is really the Catholic church. That's Babylon. As we read of the destruction of Babylon in Isaiah, we also read of it in Revelation. And there in Revelation is the destruction of Catholicism, which will be total and complete when the Lord comes again. But as we think of the destruction of this city of Babylon, let me read to you just a little brief description of the city of Babylon. And we've read this before when we were studying Daniel, but let's look at it again from a little different author. We read it from Haley's Bible Handbook last time, which has some good information. I want to read just a little paragraph that Mr. Clark gives in his commentary. Speaking of Babylon now, it was, according to the lowest account given of it by ancient historians, a regular square, 45 miles in compass, enclosed by a wall 200 feet high and 50 broad, in which there were 100 gates of brass. Its principal ornaments were the Temple of Belus, in the middle of which was a tower of 8 stories of building upon a base of a quarter of a mile square, a most magnificent palace, and the famous hanging gardens, which were an artificial mountain raised upon arches and planted with trees of the largest as well as the most beautiful sorts. Cyrus took the city by diverting the waters of the Euphrates, which ran through the midst of it, and entering the place at night by the dry channel. The river, never being restored afterwards to its proper course, overflowed the whole country, made it a little better than a great morass. This and the great slaughter of the inhabitants and the other bad consequences of the taking of the city was the first step to the ruin of the place. And he goes on and quotes from some other writers and people who've been there. And he said, reading further down here, upon the whole, Babylon is so utterly annihilated that even in the place where this wonder of the world stood cannot now be determined with any certainty. Now, this was written in 1825, and we have later evidence that the archaeologists have uncovered some of these ruins of ancient Babylon, and, And that's what we read about, you know, in Haley's Bible handbook. But now let's notice what he's going to say about this great city in Isaiah 13. "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees excellently, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there." It's not going to be used for any good purpose. "But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there." Now, satyr, the best I can understand from looking up the word, is some kind of a man-like creature, like a monkey. And it just so happened that I saw a picture in some magazine, paper this morning at the hospital, that had a little bitty monkey that was just born, and it was small enough to fit into a man's hand, and it had the name that's applied to this satyr. It's not the word name satyr, but it's the same name that the dictionary gives, and this monkey was found in the mouth of the Amazon River. But I was so amazed to think, well, there's that monkey I was studying about last night. There's a picture of it in the paper. A little bitty small monkey that grew to a height of only 9 inches with a tail of about a foot long. "So the satyr shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." So this is just a passage now describing the total and the complete and the irreversible destruction of Babylon. And as great a city as Babylon was, as powerful as it was, as much of an influence as it had over all of the kings in that area, it doesn't stand today. There's no inhabitant of Babylon today that we know of, if we can even be sure of the actual original site of Babylon. Now let's get into this 14th chapter.